Hello, this is Kathy Hart, host of the Health First Radio Show. We have some great guests lined up for you today. In the first half, we have Dr. Karen Jensen, and she's going to be talking about the three brains, how the heart, the brain, and the gut influence mental health and identity. And then in the second half of the show, we have Dr. Miranda Wiley, a naturopathic physician, and she'll be talking about medicinal mushrooms and the impact on our health. But first, here's Alan with the health news.
An air mattress can be a dangerous place for babies, researchers warn. Air mattresses are becoming increasingly popular among low-income transient people due to their inexpensive cost and portability. But these beds carry significant risks for infants, including the possibility of death, according to the study authors. Even when fully inflated, air mattresses can mold to the infant's face and obstruct the airway by forming an occlusive seal, wrote researchers Jennifer Doring from the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee and Trina Salm-Ward from the University of Georgia. There were 108 infant deaths involving air mattresses reported in 24 states between 2004 and 2015, according to the U.S. National Child Death Review Case Reporting System. But the researchers said such deaths are probably underreported. The study was published recently in the American Journal of Public Health. Lentils may be the least well-known members of the legume family. Like dried peas and beans, these plant-based foods are rich in fiber, protein, minerals, and other nutrients with virtually no fat, according to the United States Department of Agriculture. They're filling, inexpensive, available year-round, and easy to flavor with spices and other seasonings. One cup of cooked lentils comes in at about 230 calories. Add some vegetables, and you have a satisfying meal for lunch or dinner. Lentils cook faster than beans because they don't need to be soaked first, but do spread them out on a clean kitchen surface and pick out any small stones. Then place them in a fine mesh strainer and rinse under cold water. Medication can help millions of people who struggle with depression, according to the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Depression affects some 350 million people worldwide. It's a serious illness and a major cause of disability, but its symptoms can be mistaken for other health issues, and some people are afraid to seek help, the FDA said. Not everyone with depression needs medicine, the agency said, but drugs used to treat it, antidepressants, can help ease symptoms such as depressed mood, loss of energy or fatigue, restlessness, or thoughts of death or suicide. Doctors consider these symptoms, as well as a patient's medical history, behavior, and mental status, to diagnose depression and rule out other health issues, including thyroid disease and Parkinson's disease. It's the dieter's catch-22. Research shows that dieters who keep a food journal lose the most weight and keep it off the longest. But separate research says food journaling isn't as easy as you'd like it to be. It can be time-consuming, plus there's also a reliability issue with online apps that allow people to add foods to the database without verification. Ironically, packaged and processed foods, which are not as nutritious as fresh, are often easier to enter into a database because they come with mandatory labeling, and it's hard to guesstimate the calories and sometimes even the ingredients in restaurant meals, or to calculate those in home-cooked meals with many ingredients and hard-to-measure portions. But you don't have to abandon your diet journal. One solution is to use a reputable website for looking up calorie counts, like Foodopedia on the U.S. Department of Agriculture's SuperTracker website.
In Dr. Karen Jensen's new book, she explores the intricate communication network between the heart, the brain, and the gut. An increasing body of research suggests that these three brains all work together to determine our mental, emotional, and physical health. These three brains not only influence optimum brain function, but they are the very essence of our identity. Welcome, Dr. Karen Jensen.
Thank you.
So good to have you on this show. How long has your book been out?
The book launched last September, and, you know, people kind of might think, oh, gosh, it sounds like she has three heads writing about the three brains. I would encourage you to have a look at the book and actually see just how intricately, as you mentioned, these three, what I call communication systems, do work together to help us maintain and prevent mental health disorders.
What are some of the factors that cause imbalance in one or more of these three brains?
Oh, there's several different factors. Inflammation is huge. Western medicine is just starting to recognize inflammation is probably the main cause of most chronic disease. And new research is showing that inflammation is thought to be the main contributing factor to depressive disorders, as well as Alzheimer's and, of course, cardiovascular disorders, you know, tying in the three brains, as well as gastrointestinal disorders. Food allergies are big, especially when it comes to the brain and the gut. gluten sensitivity, insulin, blood sugar dysregulation has a profound effect actually on the brain and on the heart. And new research is saying actually calling Alzheimer's diabetes type 3. Including all of that, I would say probably the biggest factor affecting all of the brains is stress. Not only just for the brain, in that it contributes to an imbalance in brain chemistry and neurotransmitters that result in depression and anxiety and insomnia, learning disorders, dementias, but also cardiovascular health and gut, as well as, you know, science is also finding, of course, arthritic disorders, pulmonary disorders are all caused by stress and inflammation.
So stress causes the inflammation too?
Stress causes the inflammation, exactly. Like when I started reading that Western medicine is starting to say, oh, you know, inflammation is a cause of most disease, I was going, isn't that great? But let's back that up and say what's causing the inflammation. Initially, cortisol, one of the main stress hormones, is your friend in small doses. It helps to regulate inflammation. But when cortisol is increased over a long period of time, cortisol actually contributes to inflammation. So stress is a huge factor, and I think most people today are under, you know, I would say moderate to high degrees of stress.
Hmm. What are some of the key supplements we can use for keeping the inflammation down?
The inflammation, I would say, you know, one of my sort of, or there's a few of them, my favorite go-tos. Curcumin has potent antioxidant and anti-inflammatory properties. Omega-3s, most people are familiar with their anti-inflammatory effects. There is a new product that's coming to the 3-brain line called Brain Defense, which also has boswellia and chamomile, which are also potent anti-inflammatories. But if people were looking, shall we say, just for a basic support, you know, like key supplements for the brain,
mm-hmm.
Like you would a multivitamin, you know, like a foundation, you say, okay, I'm starting to get the importance of supporting these three organ systems to keep not only my brain healthy, but the rest of my body. There is a simple kind of once-a-day packet it's called the Daily Brain, and it contains the curcumin, the omega-3s. Probiotics are really, really important, not only for brain health, but also to help. Newest research is saying that they help to regulate blood pressure. Phosphatidylserine is really important for to prevent neurodegenerative disorders. So the Daily Brain, I kind of look at that as the foundation to help with all of these, sort of the basic support for the 3 brains. So
this comes in a packet of like 30 days?
It's a 30-day packet. Like I would look at, and I think when I saw the packet, I thought, gosh, I'm already taking curcumin. I'm already taking omegas. I'm already taking an antioxidant because it also has grapeseed extract. And I'm already taking a probiotic. I was opening 4 different bottles a day. The only one I wasn't taking was phosphatidylserine. And so it can get quite costly, but the Daily Brain is a once-a-day packet that you take once a day in the morning or at lunch, and it's 30 days. It's a 30-day, one box provides 30 days.
Karen, does it costs a lot less than buying all 4 different products?
Or 5 different products.
There's
the 5 different ingredients, yes, and it's in a very cost-effective manner as opposed to having to buy, you know, 5 different individual supplements.
So that sounds like a wonderful thing to be on for anyone over 30, or?
I would say anyone over 30, or even younger people that are under a lot of mental stress, you know, that want the added support of the omegas and the phosphatidylserine, you know, the antioxidants with the grapeseed. I would say anyone that's saying, gosh, I'm under a lot of mental stress, I really would like that added support, or those that are concerned, you know, if there's dementia in the family or they're aging and they're noticing, you know, maybe they're starting to forget things. This can provide sort of the base support for them in an easy way, to take.
Karen, would there be anybody that there'd be any contraindications for, or is it safe for all of us?
It's safe for everyone. There are the omega-3s. So people that are on, say, blood thinners may have to be careful. It's not a high, you know, it's not like high levels of omega-3s, but I would definitely consult with your health practitioner if you are taking a blood thinner. But other than that, I would say it's something that everyone could add to their support for the three, to keep the three brains healthy.
Okay, so the daily brain will help all three brains, will it?
Correct. The curcumin is an anti-inflammatory, the grapeseed extract, and the omega-3s affect the gut, the heart, and the brain. The probiotics directly affect the gut, but new research is showing that the gut microbiome, the balance in the gut microbes, is really, really important to keep for mental health disorders. So the probiotics are for the gut and the brain. And the phosphatidylserine not only is specific for brain and to prevent neurodegeneration, but also new studies have shown that phosphatidylserine can also reduce cortisol, which is a stress hormone. So, and because it reduces stress hormones, it is effective to help support all three of the brains.
Okay. And inflammation being the root cause of most disease, how does it show itself in the different three brains?
You know what, that's a really good question. It's really obvious for people that have osteoarthritis or arthritis, you know, obvious inflammatory disorders, or people that may have gut disorders, they know what, you know, inflammation in the gut feels like. But it wouldn't really, people, if they start to sort of, their memory's going, or they're starting to notice mental, emotional symptoms, they might not recognize it as an inflammatory situation. But in one study, what they found is that the people that had the highest level of an inflammatory marker called C-reactive protein that's commonly tested for in labs also had the highest degree of depression. And for those that had the highest degree of depression, their C-reactive protein or their inflammatory marker was higher. So if people are depressed, if people have dementia, one of the markers that they could be checked for is the inflammatory markers that is just a simple blood test.
So rather than being put on an antidepressant, if you bring that C-reactive protein down, that could alleviate the depression?
What they found with one study is that people that were called treatment resistant, in fact, they'd been on an antidepressant. What that means is they're on an antidepressant for two trials and it wasn't helpful. They added aspirin, which is the medical approach to one of the anti-inflammatories. And what they found after the addition of aspirin is that people where the antidepressants hadn't been effective before, 85% of the people improved. So was it actually the antidepressant starting to work, or was it the anti-inflammatory?
Yeah, wow. So insomnia affects people of all ages, young and old. Does this have something to do with the inflammation in one of these three brains?
Insomnia is huge. It affects about 45% of the world's population at this point. I would think that elevated cortisol and stress is probably an underlying cause in many people. Pain, definitely. You know, there's other factors, but underlying most, I would say, would be a stress reaction. And research has shown that it's kind of a vicious circle, in that research has shown that after one night of restricted sleep, to just 4 hours of sleep, cortisol levels, the stress hormone levels, were 37% higher the following day. But then, so insomnia causes elevated cortisol, but elevated cortisol causes insomnia. So it's really a vicious cycle. And I would really encourage people that if you're having trouble with sleep, do whatever you have to do, you know, to break that cycle.
And what's in your naturopathic toolkit? How do you help your patients?
Well, for me, I had a problem with insomnia when I kind of was, you know, heading into my early 50s because of, you know, the hormone changes and stress levels. And I tried a lot of the natural supplements out there. And what I found probably the most effective for me in meaningful doses, I found it hard to find a product that had the you know, enough milligrams of the herbs that worked for me, which was passionflower and skullcap. They worked really well for me. So most recently, I'm really excited, actually, there's a new product in the Brain line called Restful Sleep, and it actually has the passionflower and the skullcap, but also lindenflower, which is used commonly in Europe for people with insomnia, as well as California poppy. And I'm not in clinical practice anymore, but what I'm finding, not only for myself, but people that are using it, that they are getting really, really good results with the restful sleep.
Okay. Karen, this is really fascinating. We've got to go to a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk more about cognitive decline.